Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And it's a pretty unsmelly day today as far as summer in New York City goes. You can almost close your eyes, unless you're driving, no eyes closing on the driveway, on the road. Imagine that smell of a tree-lined block after a rainstorm, layered with earth and soggy leaves on the ground. Imagine that. Now the breeze is blowing. Maybe you can sense it a little better than that hot, sweaty week we had last week when it was steamy and sweaty and gross. Now it's a better week for smells. Joining me to talk about smells of the city is Bo Friedlander, whose essay, A Brief History of Scent, is in the August issue of Harper's Magazine and got us thinking about our noses, particularly in this city. Hello and welcome to WNYC, Bo.
Thanks for having me, Anna.
I want to ask you first, did you smell anything notable on your way to the studio this morning?
I didn't, and I was thinking about it. In the summertime, I tend to be a bit of a mouth breather.
So old habits die hard from last week. Nothing got in.
I was being careful. But then as I walked through the village, I tried to see if I could smell anything. And the only bad thing I smelled was a ubiquitous New York City summertime smell that I actually smelled when I got here to your offices.
And what's that smell? Would you describe it?
Well, it's the summertime, New York City summertime public bathroom smell.
And you smelled that when you got to our offices. You're welcome.
Oh, thanks. You know, I felt right at home because you can't avoid it, really.
So let's talk a bit about how smell works. People like to say that scent is closely tied to memory, and some of our listeners have been telling us on Facebook and Twitter about stenches they smelled years ago. How does smell actually work in the brain?
Well, I think that it's still a really hot topic in scientific circles. But the most interesting thing I read of late was a study in France with International Fragrance and Flavors, where they teamed up with a group of doctors working with trauma patients who couldn't remember anything. And it was the smell of one guy, it was the smell of tar that it brought his language back, I think, after 6 months.
Wow.
And then another one was the smell of bread brought their language back. But it was the first word out of that guy's mouth was tar. So I think it's very much a young topic in the field of science.
So we have been collecting nominations for the worst New York City stink from our listeners on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr. We'll take your calls, the worst smells in New York City during the summertime, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And think about how you want to describe that distinctive New York City smell, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we are also taking votes on the worst city smells. We took a bunch of nominations. We have boiled them down to four. Here are your options. You're stuck in a subway car and there's very bad body odor everywhere. Number two, fish markets in the height of summer. Number three, leaking garbage of all varieties, old meat, spoiled milk, and on and on. Four, two words, sidewalk vomit. Make your choice. What's the worst summer smell in New York City? Go to our website, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show to vote. Any of those stick out for you?
Yeah. I thought it was sort of a personal smell because I think it was 19. I remember when it was. This is like, you know, where were you when Kennedy got shot? I was on Varick Street, actually, down the street from here, and a restaurant had just gone out of business. And they threw all their meat and fish and everything onto the sidewalk. So for me, it would be the leaking garbage smell. It stayed there for 3 weeks, and it was the most atrocious thing ever.
We've heard a few stories, a particular mound of trash sticking out for our listeners, as we've heard from them on Facebook and Twitter. One of the most interesting things I learned from your article is that the smells that we're most repulsed by are a combination of rottingness, death, but with a floral or fruity tint layered on top of it. What's going on there?
Well, you're talking about stench soup, which is a great name. Stench soup was a non-lethal bioweapon that the U.S. military commissioned. And the idea was to clear an area, period. No more riot. You release this stuff, and that's the end of it. And what they did was they took vomit smell, and they created their own unique blend of human feces and rotting flesh, I think, rotting sewage and rotting meat. It was a mixture of things. And it was gross, but then they found that if they added a floral note, it tricked the nose into pulling it in even farther. And there was something just irrepressibly gross about it. And so it provoked the vomit response in people who smelled it more than anything else.
Because you're seduced a little bit by that floral scent that you sniff in a little more than you would otherwise.
I think so. Or maybe it's just so repulsive to have something nice next to something so awful.
David in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, what's your worst city smell?
Hi, I don't know if I can compete with that. Pretty awful, but hey, what I have is nothing to really to laugh about. Right near the Memorial Pier in Bay Ridge, right on the water, there is a sewage processing facility, and if the wind is coming off the water, well, then the whole neighborhood is permeated with the smell of sewage, raw sewage being processed. And fortunately, it's not often coming off the water, but when it does, it's pretty rank. I don't know if putting any kind of floral scents in it or anything like that would make it easier to manage, but it's horrible.
Thanks for your call, David. Greg in Brooklyn, you've got one I haven't heard yet. What's your worst city smell?
Hi. Well, the floral thing is funny because when you asked about scents in the summer, all I could think of was when a guy has too much cologne on. And just sweating, and it's hot, and it's just that, to me, that's just overpowering, and that's just a little gross.
Thanks for your call, Greg. And Elizabeth from Millburn, New Jersey, how about you?
Again, that sickly sweet kind of smell. I cannot stand that roasting nut smell that you smell on the streets. I think there's something about the sweetness and the burnt undertones. I just, whenever in a book they describe, like, you know, what it smells like for a burning body, that's what I think it must smell like.
From roasting peanuts. My goodness. Thank you for your call, Elizabeth. Now, Bo, I want to also talk about, we've been talking about stenches and stinks, but you also write about the growing market for bottling up comforting smells so that you walk into any Hilton hotel and are embraced by the same smell everywhere. What is this industry?
Well, it's called scent branding. And it's very weird. I mean, the military is involved in their own kind of scent branding, although they're branding what they do, which is, you know, involves death. The scent branding industry is all about selling stuff. It's either, you know, there's billboard scents, which will give you the smell of a particular scent they're trying to sell, and then there's ambient scents where you walk in, and every hotel smells exactly the same. So you feel at home no matter where you are. But they're designed to provoke a response, and they're designed by marketing people. One of the weirder ones I heard of lately was Rolls-Royce. The new Rolls-Royces, people were calling in. They'd spent all this money on a Rolls-Royce. And they were complaining that it just smelled like a car, like a regular old car. So Rolls-Royce pulled out a 1965 Silver Cloud and took 800 samples of that car, from the rubber seals to the wood to the fabric, and 800 smells that were contributing to the overall smell of that really fancy car that was worth who knows how much. And then they reproduced it. And now in new Rolls-Royces, they place that scent under the seat. Wow. The front seat of the car. So when you get in, you feel like you're in a 1965 super fancy Rolls Royce, and it somehow justifies your the money you spent.
It's no longer just a car. It's a Rolls Royce. Yeah. One of the interesting details you mentioned, who distributes some of the kind of ambient sound?
Well, yeah, there you go, sound.
Smell. I gave away the punchline.
It is kind of interesting. You know, so these smells are supposed to lull you into being calm enough to buy a car. Or whatever dumb thing that you probably shouldn't buy that you're going to buy because all of a sudden you feel really relaxed. And yeah, the company that makes it, that distributes or that owns Scentair is Muzak.
So, I love that.
I think it's kind of gorgeous.
I think that's amazing. Philip in Newtown, New Jersey, how about you? What's your worst city smell?
Yeah, well, I would commute to New York from New Jersey, take the subway, and I've always described it as a thickness. Like a wall of smell, or like it's more like a pool of smell. It's so thick, it feels like you can kind of swim through the subway. It's so strong, and it's everywhere. And I'm sure everyone says it, and I know everyone thinks it, but it's, oh God, like that's it.
But, you know, that pool, it is actually a pool. There was an article in the Times last week about how you're actually – in the summertime, there's so much water in the air that it binds to – that's why the bathroom smelled the way it smelled. There's so much water in the air that it binds to – it's a kind of a record of everyone who's been in that bathroom floating in the air. And it won't go away until that water goes away. So you're walking through like soup, basically.
And why do things smell worse in the summertime?
Oh, because after this, I'm going to take my kids to the figure skating arena to go do some skating. And it doesn't smell at all there. And the reason it doesn't smell at all there isn't because it's clean. Might be it's clean, but it might be that it's dirty. And it doesn't smell because it's cold. When it's cold, the molecules that your olfactory mucosa picks up are going really slow. And in the summertime, they're going really fast. And in the summertime, when you walk by my least favorite smell, or the grossest thing I can imagine, which is leaking, rotting offal in a garbage bag, those molecules are zipping around at the speed of light, and they get worse and worse and worse.
Again, you can vote for that on WNYC.org. We're taking your votes for the worst city smell. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show when you go to WNYC.org. Lauren in Brooklyn, there's something you want to add to this conversation?
Oh, I have in front of me Fun Home by Alison Bechtel. And she has a drawing, a page of describing the smell of New York City in August. And she says, in the hot August afternoon, the city was reduced like a long simmering demiglass to a fragrance of stunning richness and complexity. And then it's a picture of the corner of Christopher and 7th Avenue. And she identifies the smells: menthol, diesel. There's an arrow going into the subway. Urine and electricity. An arrow to a garbage can. Putrefaction. A dog pooping on the sidewalk, labeled correctly. And diesel for the bus. It's my favorite description of New York City summer smell.
That's about right on, Lauren. Thanks so much for your call. So it's... Does New York City smell worse than other cities?
I don't think so. I mean, it's nothing compared to what Rome smelled like when the Cloaca Maxima was around. I mean, a lot of this essay is about the history of how we cope with scent. In the very beginning, it was essentially priests and shamans who could control how a place smelled with incense. And incense was taken very seriously. In fact, incense dealers who cheated people came back as demons who would had to only eat incense for the rest of their eternity. It becomes a question of like, how do you cope with it? And I'm interested to hear how people do cope with it. My solution in the summer has always been mouth breathing, but you know, everyone has their own way of getting through.
Hey, Jim in Bed-Stuy, what's your worst New York City smell in the summertime?
Well, this really isn't the worst smell, but it's a funny story. A friend of mine came to visit New York, and we stopped at an ice cream store on Bleecker Street. We were just walking around the West Village, and every once in a while, she'd stop and go, oh, my God, and then keep walking. And then she said, you know, New York, every once in a while you get this horrible smell that you just can't describe. And I said, it's my ice cream, ma'am. You're eating durian ice cream. I've never had durian before. So
durian.
I thought it was kind of hilarious. And I told my friend, and she said it's like that oozy yellow liquid that comes out of a garbage bag when you pick it up in the summer. That's the smell. And it does – I've had it since then. It does sort of have that smell.
It has that smell. It doesn't taste that bad. It's a mystery durian.
But it does have putrescine in it, which is weird. So it stinks to high heaven, and it's super good for you.
One last question for you. We were talking about upstairs. What about the smell of money? How would you sort of describe it? Isn't it interesting that your pans smell a certain way after you've been handed?
Well, are you talking
bills?
About paper money?
Yeah.
Paper money. It's going to be like that Rolls Royce smell from 1965. So there's a palimpsest of everyone who's touched that money on that money. So what you're smelling probably to a pretty fair extent is the oils from various people's hands, skin cells that have come off in the process of its being handled. And then people do weird things with money, all kinds of weird things with money. They use it as a tool sometimes. They use it as a, you know, who knows? Maybe some people use it as a doorstop. But it's you're smelling its whole history of being since it was issued.
It is the smell of market capitalism, then. We have been speaking with Bo Friedlander, whose essay, A Brief History of Scent, is in the August issue of Harper's Magazine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll announce the winner of the worst smell in summertime New York City on Monday to vote. Go to WNYC.org, click on The Brian Lehrer Show. Coming up after the break, we're going to take your recommendations for what to do for the second half of your New York City summer. The phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Tell us what you've gotten off your list and what's yet to be done. And if you've got an open weekend this weekend, make sure you've got a pen to take some notes. I'm Anna Sale, sitting in for Brian Lehrer.